It's the Fantasy Tactics Show by KFFSC and All Purpose Roto.
Boy, yeah, every Tuesday we've been coming at you with the zany crew from KFFFC, All Purpose Roto, Fantasy Tactics, getting you an update on strategy, tactics, our spin on the news. We always get a wonderful second guest calling, usually. Last week, Sean Ligon called in, and this week we're hoping to see none other than Eric Balkman calling the extraordinary MC of the FFPC, and certainly a media darling at the KFFSC when he comes down and he's able to participate. I think Eric, when he's on, we'll ask him about that. He probably loves that KFFSC because that's a chance where he can kind of let his hair down a little bit more, and because he's actually participating, he doesn't have to run around trying to take care of all the customers. Is that the illustrious Mr. Balkman on the phone there?
It sure is, Bob, and I do apologize for my tardiness on the podcast tonight, but let's just say that I needed the extra time to prepare and get myself mentally prepared for one of my favorite podcasts out there.
Oh, what a suck up early on, but thanks for calling. And Eric, you are kind of an odd, you're a square peg in a round hole, because if for fantasy guys, you are wicked on time.
Yeah, I would say a square peg in a round hole is sort of what my parents have always described me as.
There you go.
So I feel like just carrying it over to the fantasy landscape is sort of a natural thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tonight, folks, Eric's joining us from the FFPC and the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We'll talk about that in a little while. We got some interesting news from those folks on what's going on this year. And Eric, I was just chatting. I imagine for you, I don't think I asked you this last year, but I mean, you have such a good time at Farrell's event there at the KFFFC. And then, you know, a week later, I fly out and see you in Vegas, you know, running around, taking care of everyone, making sure, you know, all the electronic stuff's working correctly for people's drafts, making sure everyone's got the right table. You know, you're kind of like the go around to everything. So it's two extremes for you, right? Within 1 week.
I would say, even if you extrapolate that, Bob, you know, we have the Football Guys Players Championship drafts, which are actually starting in early June this year. So we pound those out hardcore for basically, you know, well, I mean, this year it'll be essentially almost 3 full months. Then, you know, we get the little respite. You know, my co-host Dave Gerzak and FFPC co-founder, he comes down along with our Wisconsin crew down to Kentucky, and we take a little bit of a break for the KFFSC weekend and just enjoy the auctions and drafts down there in Louisville, and it's such a great time. And we have other guys, you know, sort of taking care of the Football Guys drafts that weekend. And then the following weekend is our Labor Day draft-a-thon, and that's basically – you know, Thursday night of Labor Day weekend, I essentially lock myself in my office in my basement of my house, and I do nothing but commish drafts. I basically till like 2 a.m, and then I start up again at 7 a.m, so I get like 4 hours of sleep in between then. But that's Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. So it's a hardcore weekend of commissioning fantasy drafts. And then, like you said, we go to Vegas then the following Tuesday, and then I'm commissioning drafts out there. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then sort of Saturday night is the first night we get to cut loose and have some fun in Vegas. And then Sunday morning, obviously, watching – I tell you this for anybody who's thinking about it, watching the week one NFL games in Las Vegas, no matter where you are, such a great time. And you can speak to that, Bob. It is an awesome time to be out there and be an NFL fan. But those 3 weeks, man, of the draft season, it's crazy.
Yeah, true fantasy – for you, and I do. We constantly do that. They're playing in that comfort zone. Go to one of the events just there, and be shocked. I always say it. It will be better home leagues than you think. People are overt and welcoming, and just out to have a good time with football fans. And it's funny you bring up watching the games. I'd kind of forgotten about that. We were watching them at that. Gosh, I can't remember where I watched it now. They had like 9 games up on ginormous screens, and there were so many people in football strip in 95. Believe it.
I mean, I don't want to say it's like insane and it's so crazy, because like once you live it, it's like it's sort of like what I expected. But when you're actually doing it and you're seeing these, you know, like 10 games or whatever on these massive screens. You know, you have beverages and food and all these friends that you only get to see once a year, and people you've never met before
never
that
met.
Become your really good friends. You know, once a year you see them. It's a great time to be an NFL fan, and it's a great time to be in Vegas.
We're in the Stratosphere, and there's like four people I never met before at this one booth we were at, like with eight of us. And what was fun, as like you said, is we were all like with each other. Okay, let's bet this six pack together, and you know, this six group of teams together, and everybody watching the same games. And it was just so funny when one guy's back would be to one screen, and you'd see a great play, you'd scream, and everyone would turn and look that way. And but you're right, it's a great time. And I do encourage folks, I know money's money. Try to save that money up. Get yourself out to one of these events. I guarantee you'll be surprised. I guarantee you'll be even more surprised because I, of course, listened to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour for a couple of years before I even met you. And, geez, the first time I went out there, I think you came over and said hi to me like 5 minutes after you knew who I was. And I'm nobody. And then going out to Vegas, you know, Gerzak comes over, says hi. And again, he just thought I was a fantasy player at that time, you know. And so the guys are all so welcoming. And the competitors are even more so. They're just like your buddies saying, what do you think of so-and-so David Johnson this year, you know?
It's bizarre, right? Because, I mean, what other industry, what other event would you go to where people are going to be like that? I remember the first time I went out there and, you know, just was – I didn't even strike up a conversation. I was just getting a drink at a bar and one of the guys approached me,
mm-hmm.
and we just – casually started talking about fantasy football, and you know, within that time of like 5 or 10 minutes, I got to be good friends with that group, and they ended up playing in the FFPC, and I think they still play in the FFPC, and that was, I mean, I don't even know how many years ago that was, 6 or 7 years ago, and it's an interesting community. We love to have more people be a part of it, because once you're in, it's tough for you to be like, you know, I don't want to be part of this anymore. Once you're in, you love
yeah.
it.
Oh yeah, I'm back. Yeah, every year I gotta. I'm never gonna miss that. Just for the fun. Hey, walking down the Vegas Strip in a Ndamukong Suh jersey at my size, Eric, I've got some good old New England stones. You know.
you probably had some Patriots fans throwing some shade at you.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I was approached by several odd human beings on the Strip. But hey, let's get to a little football. Let's get to a little football, and then I do want to talk about the FFPC. I really believe this is something that's going to be important this year, and I call it the running back tier three. It's after you get back past that first big group of course, Gurley, Peterson, Le'Veon Bell, and Charles. I see Charles is right up in there. And then David Johnson's creeping up. People are loving him. And then you got Ingram, Freeman, probably Martin, kind of, despite the PPR thing. So that group, that's great. But these six guys, Eric, I think they can make or break your draft because they're going to be a running back one on a lot of guys who go wide receiver, tight end, something like that. And that's McCoy, Forte, Thomas Rawls, who's calming down, C.J. Anderson, and your Wisconsin buddy, Eddie Lacy. I think if you can pick and rank these guys correctly and get the right one, you're going to have a big edge on other guys who picked the wrong ones here. So McCoy, Forte, Rawls, Anderson, Lacy, do you have some thoughts on this group?
Yeah, well, initially, just the group as a whole, you touched on it when you said that it was a tough year for running backs in 2015. So just by and large, these running backs are going to fall further than they should in fantasy. And this is coming from a guy, by the way, who loves drafting receivers early and usually shies away from running backs. But I'm telling you, pretty much all these guys here, you're going to get at a spot you probably shouldn't in drafts this year. Now, you already mentioned it with my hometown Packers love. Obviously, I'm a big Eddie Lacy fan. Anybody who listens to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, 10-9 Central on Friday nights on blogtalkradio.com/HSFF, if I can get the plug in, you know that I love Lacy. I am a huge Lacy fan. I think he is going to be in for a massive bounce back this year. So to me, when you look at the Bob tier, the Bobby tier number three of running backs this year, to me, he's head and shoulders above everybody else on there. I think C.J. Anderson is a close, well, not a close second, but he's second clearly on this list. When you look at what Denver is going to have to do to win football games this year. No Peyton Manning, no Brock Osweiler. Who knows who's going to be at quarterback. So the emphasis will be on the defense and the running game, and they're going to ride C.J. Anderson hard. So I think he's number two on this list. I'd probably put LeSean McCoy as number three because we all know how Rex Ryan loves his starting running back, and I think McCoy has a big year this year. Even with the presence of Carlos Williams, I think that he's able to catch a lot of passes. He's able to be the focal point of that offense again with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. So I'm still a believer in LeSean McCoy. Matt Forte is probably fourth on this list. But Thomas Rawls, to me, I'm still not behind because I do believe that Seattle is going to be utilizing probably a day two pick in the NFL draft on a running back that's going to cut into Rawls' time. And remember, they've signed Christian Michael again, I think for the 57th time. They just can't quit each other. So I think Michael comes back and he kind of gums up the works with the Seattle running back situation this year. So I'm not as big of a Rawls fan as many people out there. I do think he is going to be noteworthy and somebody to pay attention to in fantasy. But if you put him on this same tier with McCoy, Forte, Lacy, Anderson, to me, I like the other four guys better. But that's how I would rank him.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent analysis of that group. And I am a little bit heavier on Forte than McCoy, but I will give you the fact that the Bills didn't let guys like Eric Wood, their center, they re-signed Incognito back, who had a great year, I think, for them. I think getting those two guys back is big for McCoy's prospects. But I got to give it to the Jets in a year that looks crazy, where Fitzpatrick is still, you know, in limbo, let's say. You know, their offensive line, Eric, is pretty impressive actually now because, you know, Hickey's a good player with Ryan Clady backing him up. They took over from the Broncos as an injury risk, but he's there. Carpenter, everyone loved him in Seattle. Remember, he was a dominating guard in Seattle. And then, of course, Nick Mangold, Brian Winters, they've got some players. I tend to find myself thinking that of this group, Forte's sneaky because I'm hoping he falls. Do you think he's going to be – but I'm with you on Eddie Lacy 100%. I'm buying into this weight gain, everything. I think this kid's going to come in ready for bear, but I'm kind of going Lacy Forte in this group, to be honest.
Well, and I'll tell you something about Forte, not to totally poo-poo his 2016 prospects. Remember, Matt Forte is a pretty good pass catcher out of the backfield, and the Jets still don't have a quarterback. I mean, if Ryan Fitzpatrick goes somewhere else and they have some sort of game manager, you know
–
a quarterback back there that's not as talented, all of a sudden you have to tick down Marshall and Decker in your rankings. And Forte, he's the beneficiary of some dump-offs in there. So I think that you have to look at that. The Jets did a pretty good job of replacing DeBrickishaw Ferguson with Ryan Clady pretty quickly. That was impressive to get somebody who's not that big of a drop-off to play left tackle there. So I thought that was really good. I still like Bilal Powell quite a bit. I think he's really good on third downs there, and I don't know how much of that third down work he's going to cede to Forte. But you're right. I mean, Forte is the perfect example of a guy, if he slips, wherever he slips to in the draft, if you can get him a little bit later than you should, he's going to pay dividends.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right, though. Powell is a threat on that team. And Fitzpatrick, I don't know what's going on with there's fantasy dynasty owners probably screaming right now with Decker and Marshall, who, you know, if people forget Marshall coming off that 2014 injury, punctured lung. Remember that play? And he's coming back so strong. So there's people that are probably not too happy while the Jets are dealing with this. Question two for you, Eric, is you mentioned Denver. You know, this is looking bad. Same deal. You tipped off Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders here. We're looking at Mark Sanchez. So, I mean, where are you staying away from these guys almost?
Yeah, it's so interesting, that Denver quarterback situation, as we talk about fantasy football here on April 19th of 2016. I said, you know, since the FFPC is now at the Westgate Resort in Las Vegas is where we're going to be having our live drafts, and the Westgate is the biggest sports book in the world. I said to Dave, you know, we should see if we can get the Westgate to take bets on who the starting quarterback is for Denver in week one of that Thursday night game that's going to kick off the NFL season, because I don't think it's going to be Sanchez, but I don't know who it's going to be, you know. And just to selfishly bring one of the dynasty teams I own into this, I have Emmanuel Sanders on that team. Bob, I have no idea what to do with them, and I'm too scared to put them on the block. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what I should be asking for him. I don't know what's a good deal in exchange for Sanders right now, because the quarterback is so uncertain. Two things I'm sure of on Denver this year: they're going to be focusing on the run game, and the Denver defense is going to be very good once again. As far as Sanders, I don't know. I'm not too worried about Demaryius Thomas. I wouldn't take him in the first round like he was going last year, but I still think he's going to see, you know, more than 100 targets in that offense. And even if it's a horrible quarterback throwing to him, you got to believe worst case scenario that Demaryius Thomas is still catching 80 passes. He's still probably getting in the end zone a minimum of a half dozen times. So I'm not too worried about him. Sanders is the guy I'm worried about because I don't know how he's going to incorporate into that offense with an unknown at quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Sanders is very a big concern for me. Demaryius Thomas is not unlike what Cleveland wide receivers did with any quarterback. He's still going to get his catches. And you're right. If he doesn't course correct down to the middle to late of second round, then fine. Someone else can spend the money on him, or the draft pick. But I think he'll course correct down into the later part of the second round, which makes him an affordable, steady producer. I agree with you on that. You know, you mentioned the Westgate, Eric. The FFPC is moving over there. Talk to the folks about that a little bit, about that new venue and the different days that it's available out there and the different contest formats that are available at the FFPC.
For the first time in whatever it is, 9 years, we're not going to be on a casino on the Strip. We've always been at either Caesar's Palace or the Rio. And anybody who's been paying attention to the fantasy sports industry right now knows that, I don't want to say the word toxic, but people have kind of been staying away from, doing partnerships, whether it be daily or season long, because let's face it, the Daily Giants really created a mess in our
state
over the last year or so, and season long is sort of being unfairly lumped in, which, you know, we're not going to sit and cry about it. We're going to try to take action and make sure that we get as many FFPC players who want to play the FFPC to continue to be able to do that. So the thing with Vegas is obviously not a lot of places where, I don't want to say they were unwelcoming, but they were a little nervous about bringing us on. But the Westgate was totally different. I mean, they reached out to us. They welcomed us. They were excited to have us. So the fact that we're going to be at the Westgate this year, which is a little bit off the Strip, but still, it's not that big of a casino. So FFPC players are really going to overrun that thing. You're going to be surrounded by fantasy football players if you play live. It's probably going to be our biggest live event ever in the FFPC history, given the legal landscape. There's going to be a lot of people not playing online and flying out to Vegas to draft their teams. So that's going to be really fun. We have obviously the Thursday night party, which is free for main event players. We have the cheaper drink prices. You don't have to worry about $11 cocktails and $10 beers at the Westgate. They're going to take care of us. If you're a main event player, you get the free Thursday night stay and discounted rates on the already lowered rates for Friday and Saturday. So for anybody who didn't want to come out in previous years because of the higher rates you had to play at Caesars, this is the year to come out. I mean, if you're ever going to come out and draft your fantasy football team live in Vegas, this is the year to do it because you're not going to see a better price. And the fact that we have, 18 draft times to choose from this year, both live and online, which is an unprecedented amount of different times than we've had in the past. There's going to be a time that works for you. There's going to be a date that works for you. This is going to be the year where, again, if you're ever considering it before and you haven't in the past, this is the year to do it.
And Eric, you know, this experience where you sit there and commission so many of those online leagues and then help run the event for the FFPC really trickles down to the community, certainly to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, where all of this great guests you can get will offer and share their tips and, of course, to us here because we know you and your colleagues and we listen as well. So that's what helps give all of the listeners a little bit of edge. And we always say, you know, they internalize everything we say and we always encourage them, then make your decision because it's your team. But that that party is fantastic. You know, you come down there, you get to watch the games. And again, you'll meet 15, 20 new people sitting there, watch the first game of the year. That's a zany atmosphere.
Yeah, and I've seen it happen so many years where, you know, we have these big tables where, you know, you bring for four or five friends or whatever, and you sit at the table with, you know, maybe two or three people you don't know. And then by the second quarter of the opening night game, you're hanging out with them and buying each other drinks. And then by the end of the game, I mean, there's so much mingling going on that, you know, some of the people stay to watch like the bare knuckles draft that we have going on right after the game. And then other guys like, what do you guys want to do? You know, let's go hang out. And then they end up go party you know, on the strip or you know, somewhere in Vegas with these people that they didn't meet until they realized that they had they were kindred spirits in high stakes fantasy football. And you make friends for life without even really trying. It just happens, you know. So that's what makes the event great. You know, the FFPC is a great place to play fantasy football, but it's a great community of high stakes fantasy football players.
Right.
And the more the merrier. It gets better every year.
The more the merrier. You will run into these people as you walk around. Go to other sports books, like Eric said, and let's go watch some horse races. I did that with a couple of guys last year. I thought it was funny. I didn't think anyone would go look at horse racing with me. And then I was sitting at a table and I said, oh, I kind of missed the horses in Saratoga. And they go, well, let's go over to the sports book. And so, you know, I had a great time. And we're not big wheelers, you know. We spent $15. We felt like we were big shots, right? The only regret I have, Eric, is, you know, going to the FFPC, and this is true, and only having one team was so painful last year. I wanted more to watch all those other drafts. I don't even think I want to be in town the last day. Hey, before we go to the high stakes and get you out of here, because I know I want to talk about your family, Deion Lewis is that player who was so polarizing last year, and a lot of people have kind of forgot about him, but the 2016 expectations could be kind of surprising if this guy plays just 12 games instead of 8. You know, last year was a pretty good receiving year for this guy and pretty good touchdown-wise. What do you think about that pass running game?
It seems like I bring up Deion Lewis every week on the show because I really want to know what other high-stakes players are thinking about him, given that, A, he's a Patriots running back, so already there's a stigma there about, you know, unless it's a draft experts league that you're drafting him in. Where, you know, if the Deion Lewis weeks that he goes bonkers, then he's in your lineup, and the weeks that he's not, he's not. But when you're drafting him in a redraft league, you know, like the FPC or the main event or any of the other FFPC leagues, you look at him and it's just like, when am I going to know when to play this guy? When is it a Deion Lewis week? And now that the Patriots have signed LeGarrette Blount again, when is it a Blount week? And when is it a James White week? You know, it's so confusing to know when to play this guy. He crushed it last year when he was healthy, but the fact that he is coming off a fairly significant knee injury that didn't happen in the preseason, I mean, it happened in midseason, and it's the Patriots, so you really don't know what to believe as far as how his recovery is going. I think that, to me, he's a guy, and this is the feeling I get from players when I talk to them. He's a guy that players will not be targeting in drafts until they know more, or at least until they see him, you know, out on the field in the preseason. But he's a guy that could pay huge dividends if you get him at the right price. I mean, if you're drafting him as your number 4 running back or number 3 running back, he could be great. The problem is a lot of, at least with the satellite leagues we have going on right now, he's been being drafted as either a low end, you know, starting number 1 running back, like again, the 12 to 15 range for running back. So if you want to wait on him to draft him as your top backup or your second best backup, you're not going to get him because somebody else is going to draft him ahead of you. And that's fine. Players, again, from what I'm gathering, is that they're going to take a guy, a receiver or a tight end, that's healthy, that you know what his role is coming to this season, and they're not going to want to roll the dice with Deion Lewis. But the players that do, if Lewis does pan out, man, he's a home run if he did what he did last year.
He's a home run. I would have to agree with you on that. And he had some yardage, I believe, near 40 receptions, probably near 400 yards. That's where it was kind of appealing, and then he posted a couple hundred yards rushing. But it was the every week part of his PPR value I liked. It was like, you know, 4-4-4-4-4 every week, and he had some big games too, but that certainly was appealing to him. And of course, that's that exciting player that everyone was jumping on at that Thursday night game last year. Another guy who is getting a lot of buzz but with a lot less production last year, so I couldn't wait to ask you about it, was Mr. Jeff Janis, the wide receiver from Green Bay. He's got the size, but he doesn't have the stats yet. What's going on?
Yeah, he's a guy that I get asked about a lot. And honestly, if you remember, obviously, you know, Charles Johnson, the Vikings wide receiver, but he was actually drafted by the Packers in the 7th round coming out of a small school in Michigan. And I was looking at this guy's metrics from his pro day. I'm like, my God, they're comparable to Julio Jones. He could be really great. So I was totally on board with Charles Johnson. And then for whatever reason, he didn't make enough plays in practice. Green Bay actually cut him, and then Cleveland picked him up off waivers, found out he had a torn ACL, and then they released him. Minnesota scooped him up. So that sort of put – I mean, I'm just saying this to say I'm not totally unbiased in this. It sort of put a bad taste in my mouth for late receivers that Ted Thompson drafts for the Packers. So when I look at Jeff Janis, obviously I was super excited. We talked about him on the show even before Green Bay took him. We talked about, man, this guy's metrics, his analytics are great. You know, the stats that he put up at, you know, whatever it was a Division III school, Saginaw Valley State or Grand Valley State, again, another small school in Michigan. And I was super excited about him, but, you know, with low expectations. And the fact that he was languishing, Bob, on the Green Bay practice squad and then just only getting on the field with special teams, to me speaks to the fact that, okay, Green Bay is not seeing what they would have hoped for here now in his second year as a Packer. He's just not making the steps forward. Well, then, if you remember the Arizona playoff game, that was sort of his coming out party. He, you know, he has the 100-yard receiving game, catches the Hail Mary at the end of the game against Arizona to send it into overtime. And then everybody was like, wow, where has this guy been all season? Well, remember, Green Bay in that game already didn't have Jordy Nelson. They right. lost James Jones to an injury. They lost Randall Cobb to the lung issue where he was coughing right. up blood on the field. So it was like Janis and Jared Aberderis. So, I mean, obviously Janis is going to get stats catching balls from Rodgers in that playoff game. I am just not a huge believer in him. I feel like the sample size of what Green Bay saw with him in practice over the last couple of years, the fact that he didn't see the field, to me, speaks higher volumes than the two big games he had at the end of the 2015 season. And I know Mike McCarthy has said, well, we really need to get him out on the field more. The beat writers in Wisconsin have said, this is one of the worst analysis of any player I've ever seen in my 20 plus years of covering the Packers, that Jeff Janis didn't see the field more. I'm still siding with the coaching staff and Janis could be special, but you know, if you want to get him in dynasty leagues or if you want to get him in redraft leagues, you're going to have to pay some sort of price to get him. And he could be the number three receiver for Green Bay this year over Davante Adams. We don't know. If Jordy Nelson doesn't come back from this knee injury and he still is not able to gain separation from cornerbacks, which we saw at the end of the 2014 season, the last month, then Janis could be the number two receiver. And people are going to be betting on that upside. Now, for me, I'm going to look elsewhere because, again, I drafted Davante Adams after the Nelson injury, knowing that he had a great opportunity in front of him to take advantage of it. And he was a second round pick and he couldn't get it done. So maybe Janis gets it done, but I'm not willing to stake a draft pick that it's going to take to get Janis on my squad this year.
I hope he stays depressed. I think you're pretty spot on with him, but I hope his value stays depressed because I think you point out this is very important. Jordy Suss come back from the leg, which I think he will. He'll come back from that. But Randall's been nicked up. And then Davante Adams was, geez, I thought he was terrible. So I look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, and I just go, I kind of like that. Now, the Packers did get a tight end that I think makes things interesting. And I think that hurts Janis too. I think maybe Cook almost destroys him. Do you see that?
I wouldn't say destroy him because I'm a little, and maybe Bob, listen, maybe this is just me, my self hating Packers, you know, fan part of me talking because, you know, often I try to go in with as low expectations as possible. So I'm not disappointed. I'm not convinced that Jared Cook is going to have a big season this year. I mean, obviously if he does, yeah, it's probably going to be at the expense of guys like Janis and Adams and Aberderis and Montgomery. I mean, and Richard right. Rodgers, I think that's where, and there's only so many balls to go around. I'm not convinced that happens. I'm not convinced Janis has a breakout either. I'm pretty sure Randall Cobb bounces back. And if there's one Packers receiver I'm drafting this year, it's probably going to be Cobb. I mean, in FFPC drafts, he's going like third, fourth round right now, which is great. I'd be in for him at that price. The rest of them, I don't know. Cause I mean, I've seen Nelson go in the first, I've seen him mostly go in the second. And obviously I'm off of Adams. I'm off of Rodgers. Cook is being to me overdrafted right now based on what people think he could get done. With Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. And obviously, Janis, you have everybody's betting on the upside. So there's a lot it's sort of like that one year when New England had Welker, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, and Brandon Lloyd. All four of those guys were going super high in drafts, and everybody knew who was drafting them. Like, look, at least one of these guys is going to bust because there's no way that passing offense can sustain all four of those guys. Well, in the same way, the Packers' passing offense can't sustain Nelson, Cobb, Cook, Rodgers, Janice, Adams. I mean, it just can't. It can't sustain all that. So, you know, and I think that Cobb, to me, is the guy I'm most comfortable with right now, and the rest of it is sort of taking a bit of a shot in the dark.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of balls to spread around. Before we wrap, I've kept you longer than I promised. I want to wrap with the high stakes because there's a lot to be said for that. The FFPC Eric family grew last year, if I recall right. Is that right?
Yeah, but my personal family?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, my daughter actually just celebrated less than 3 weeks ago her first birthday. So now my wife and I have a 2.5-year-old son, and we have a year-old daughter. So it makes things interesting at the Balkman household.
So logistics and preseason OTAs and camps at the Balkman residence must get more interesting now.
Yeah, I would say so. you know, anytime you're adding another player on the old roster, there's I wish I could just add assistant coaches, and I just can't. You know, I have limited cap space, Bob. It's me and my wife, and that's pretty much it. So we try to show the kids as much attention as we can, and hopefully they take the next step forward in the offense this year.
Yeah, let's hope you're a camp cut, and then they sign two lower priced veterans.
One can only hope.
Hey, let's wrap up with that high stakes fantasy football hour because I will tell you, I bet you do forget why that show is different than a lot of the other shows and why I think it's the best show out there is, to be honest with you, it would be kind of easy to sit and bring in a million stats and talk about a bunch of stats and just puke them out and tell people what's the next best thing and who's the best player. But what's different about what you and Dave bring to that show is that you guys will also give that personal opinion and then say, yeah, I know he had 80 yards 3 weeks in a row, but I don't like him this week. Tell folks about the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and then we'll let somebody say hi to you after you answer that.
There's a lot of fantasy podcasts out there. There's a ton. And I think one of the things that we do really well that a lot of other podcasts don't is – we understand, like, hey, we're not experts. We just happen to play. Let's bring on people who spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of their own money and are successful at it. Let's bring them onto the show and pick their brains because obviously they know what they're talking about. And I think that, you know, Dave and I will go over the news and notes every week. We'll answer emails. You know, we have all these fun segments that we do. But the best part of our show every week is that half hour we get to sit down with a high-stakes player that has achieved success at the highest level and find out not only his or her opinions on players, but strategy in auctions, strategy drafting from certain spots on the board. I think that there's a lot of stuff that goes into fantasy football that the smartest people realize that there's a lot that they don't know. And I think once you understand that and become a sponge for learning other stuff that perhaps you hadn't considered before and not be closed-minded about it, it makes you a better fantasy player. And that's what we try to do every week is bring on a new opinion. And I don't know how many guests we've had over the years. I mean, well over 100 high-stakes players that have brought their own unique views from Dynasty, Main Event, auctions, I mean, everything. We try to get a wide breadth of it on the show and give everybody a fresh take every single week. And I think that that's something that you don't really see out there a whole lot. You know, obviously you guys at the Fantasy Tactics and the All-Purpose Roto Show, you guys bring on Kentucky players every week, and I love that. I think that's so great. It's just like these guys don't have a voice. They don't have websites, and they don't have, Twitter handles where they're churning out all this analysis and all these articles and everything. It's just you get them on in these bite-sized snippets and you ask them these questions, and I think it really makes everybody who listens a better fantasy player because of it.
All right, Eric, that's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. Make sure you search them on iTunes and download them. And I'm going to let someone say hi to you. He's the hostess with the mostest, but he's got to promise not to keep you long because I've kept you here too long already. Farrell, I surprised you with Eric tonight.
No, you didn't. The dulcet tones of Crafty Balky could be identified anywhere. However, we had our usual weekly chat, and he tipped the hat to me that he would be appearing on the show. And the same, you know, and Bob, you can't get anything past me and Wisconsin's own. Come on,
damn you,
don't
Eric.
Even try that.
Damn
don't
you,
even
Eric.
Try that BS. But you know, listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour ensures one thing: you'll be a better fantasy player, and you'll have a damn good chance at winning. I love listening to Bob. It gives me a damn good chance at winning.
And it's what I'm proud of is you listen to my voice for whatever it is for 75 minutes every single week, and as long as you're able to weed out my advice and my analysis and just focus on our guest that week, it's amazing how your wallet gets fatter afterwards.
You know, Gersak contributes very nicely too.
He does.
So we got that going.
Dave does get.
Yeah.
Eric, thanks so much for your time on the show. Our best to your family and your wife for putting up with you. We will have you back on again after the draft, and can't wait to see you out in Vegas.
Always happy to do it. Farrell, Bob, what a great time. Good to speak with you guys. Enjoy the NFL draft. It's going to be a lot of fun, and Dave and I will be actually in Chicago for it. Again, if anybody is going to be at Draft Town in Chicago for the NFL draft, Hit us up on Twitter at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzek, and we'll meet up with you and we'll watch a few picks. It'll be a great time.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. Beautiful. The wonderful Eric Balkman. Man, I really thought I had you there, Farrell. Darn it.
Buddy, you know you can't pull any of those kind of surprises over on me. I don't know why you even try.
I shouldn't try. Sean, thanks for standing by there. The wonderful Sean Ligon here with us again tonight.
Love Sean Ligon.
Sean Lagoon. Sean, my man.
Sean Ligon.
Sean Lagoon. He gave me some good advice last year, man. I picked up some nice players from him last year, and I liked him because he's got quiet, steely advice during the draft events.
I like Sean because he regularly takes my phone calls, you know. So I got that going for me.
We need to set that up for him this year, Sean. We need to make sure he doesn't even have a phone during the draft event. We should just forward them to somebody. Like, let's forward them to a UPS service center.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Farrell without the phone by him. So
no.
I don't know how you'd function without that thing.
Three conversations at once, that guy. I mean, I've seen him in action. He can sell something and be talking to two people at the same time. One face-to-face and one on the phone. It's kind of crazy. Okay.
That's
so.
Right.
We had a great time here for 20 minutes talking with Mr. Eric from the FFPC, and now we're going to switch hats back to the wonderful KFFFC. And you know we're here because we're getting you ready for your drafts, or we're getting you ready for your online drafts, and we're encouraging you to come down and participate live at the biggest event outside of Vegas. Just like what Eric was talking about, that community, that family that you can meet. You'll make friends. I have 25, 30 guys now that I bounce questions off of people that I didn't have in my little circle before. Farrell, I had a great question from someone that wanted me to ask about this, and it's about player hype. And since your experience, you get to see some of these guys working out. You get to see what some of them have to go through just to get on the team. We sit on the sidelines, and we're craving and pulling in all these little tidbits, you know. It's what a coach says, what a workout says, how they do in a preseason game. And, of course, example is Ameer Abdullah skyrocketing up draft boards. You know, can you give us some tips on how to get us back to earth when we're evaluating these players before the season?
Tips. You got to realize training camp is a marathon, not a sprint. It's a lot less of a marathon than it used to be. And you have to follow good writers. You know, we want to take advantage of information that we get from Sean and that we get from Crafty Balky, because those guys are good fantasy players. We know that. They've proven themselves. Some of these writers, they're assigned to the team. They are, to borrow a word from the military, embedded with the team. And they've got to write something. And some of their copy is not worthwhile. Go to the NFL Network. Listen. to some of the guys that you can rely on from the NFL Network. The Godfather is getting a little long in the tooth with some of his analysis sometimes, but he's right on in training camp, and people tell him everything, and he gives it out freely and shares it freely. So that's one way to do it. So, yeah, don't, you know, consider the source. That's what you've got to do. You've got to really pay attention to who's delivering that information and how much you think they invested in it, and it, do they value the fact that they have a reputation of clarity and of a significant advice, or are they just filling airtime?
Sean, what about like coach talk? You know, because that's one of the news bites, sound bites you'll hear a lot is when a particular coach or a position coach will say about a player either, you know, going down in value or emerging, he's looking good, you know, that sort of stuff. You know, we're hearing some stuff like, say, for Hardy out of Atlanta, we're hearing he looked great. Well, Sean, when you see this coach talk stuff, do you put a lot of stock into it, or just do you make sure you're more aware to observe come season time? What do you do with?
Yeah, I put very little in a coach speak because, you know, for one thing, we don't know if they're ever telling the truth. A lot of times they could just be trying to build the guy's ego or confidence. So, of course, they're going to say positive things in the media. On the other side, maybe they're trying to motivate them, say something bad about them. I just don't think you can – I don't think you – most coaches don't tell you anything. And if they do, they have a purpose for telling you that. So I don't think the purpose – is to inform us, the general public, that they're trying to send a message to the media. They've got something meaningful to say. They're not going to tell all of us.
They're fulfilling an obligation and a time slot, too. They have to climb into that media day, which is part of their league responsibility. And that's not a I've seen fantasy players comb those conversations to because they think that they can get some positive information from that. That's not going to help you win, guys. That's not going to help you win.
And Farrell, bouncing back to you, the one that I tend to fall into is one sensational quarter in the preseason. And then the guy mm-hmm. plays in the first quarter and looks good. So now I'm taking a guy I might have had in the 15th round, I was thinking. I'm moving him all the way up in the 9th or 10th because I think I've got the next shocking, great emerging player because he had two great quarters in preseason. How do we, you know, get ourselves back to a mental health check where we recalibrate when you see these wonderful preseason games?
Ask yourself who the last player you saw look great in preseason that you had largely never heard of or had limited expectations for, and what he was able to do as a contributor during the season. Can you think of one?
Not offhand. You're making me feel stupid. How about you, Sean? I'm feeling stupid all of a sudden.
You know, I've gone through a long list of losers from Ryan Matthews to Abdullah. But last year, I was extremely high on David Johnson, and I do feel like he the leagues I won, he certainly helped me in. So maybe I actually hit one last year. But I think the thing you have to do is just, you know, step back and realize these guys still are going to have to earn their playing time. And maybe they're not getting it done against the first team either sometimes. You know, sometimes we get all excited when a guy makes a couple of spectacular runs and he's not running against first-team defense. Probably doesn't mean that much.
That's exactly right. And when you look at David Johnson, there's a third-round draft pick going into a situation that needed a running back, and he had a prolific college career. So I don't think that's much of a reach there at all. I go back to my favorite all-time example of fool's folly, and that was the Zach Sudfeld, who in Las Vegas year that I was in, I saw him go as high as the 6th and 7th round in a draft just because he was filling in for Gronkowski, and you know they're going to throw it to the tight end. And I said, what are these guys thinking about? And, it can happen.
Yeah, I got into the hype on Chandler. That's a good example of that. Sean, the Broncos, who really have had an offseason to forget, let's just be honest, they re-signed Ronnie Hillman. I think that's an interesting pickup or re-signing because of the situation that offense is in. You know, he's only in his 5th year. People think he's been around longer than that. And he's got some stats. You know, he's got some production. What do you think about Hillman coming back after kind of a healthy year last year compared to his previous years?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like to me that Denver's committed to the ground game. I certainly don't think they're going to try to get it done through the air. So I expect, you know, this to be multiple backs will get carries there again. I don't know that anybody's going to emerge as a dominant guy because I don't think C.J. Anderson is explosive enough. And I don't think Hillman's durable enough from what we've seen out of him so far. So it'll likely be a split, and both guys will probably have some good value.
We've really got to watch what this team does in the preseason. I say that a great deal. We've really got to watch how this looks from day one, not just in the preseason games, but from day one. And, you know, you try to catch the vibe of what the players are saying about the new people that are there. And then let's look at what this team does in the draft. And, you know, this is a thing that's really – I'm really confused with their business season after all the success they've had. It's been highly unusual.
It's very unusual for a Super Bowl team like that. And a reminder on Hillman, 863 yards last year, so that's pretty good on 107 carries. You're like, oh, yeah, over four. But then you look back at your game logs and you're going to see those last few months, they were pretty terrible. Playoff carries was really bad. I think he had less than 2 yards a carry. I had the 24 catches, had 7 total TDs. So he's kind of streaky. It's a player you better watch, keep an eye on your board. Watch this team, like Farrell said. A lot could go on there. Another guy to you, Farrell, is Breshad Perriman. A lot of us liked him because of his pedigree last year as a flyer in the late rounds. He's out participating now. There's opportunity here in Baltimore. He could step into a big role if he's healthy. They bring in Mike Wallace in. I don't know. Do you think Perriman's a guy you like as a late-round flyer to pick up and you're hopeful?
What are you calling late round?
A 17th, 16th round.
Yeah, I could take him in the 17th or 16th round if he's healthy and make a case for it. And that is the kind of pick that can help you win, but I don't see it. I think this is a player this team wish they'd never gotten business with.
Oh, that's a bad sign. He's usually right on this sort of thing. When he disses a guy like that, it's usually pretty bad, to be honest. I started to actually take notes when he does that. What do you think about Perriman? Man, I loved his father, but it's not looking.
Yeah, and I don't seem to ever remember the third receiver in Baltimore having a lot of success. It seems like they just throw the two outside guys and the tight ends in the back. So, you know, unless one of the two guys, Mike Wallace or, you know, Steve Smith, doesn't have much of a year, I can't see him having a lot of value to start the season off anyway.
Hey, if you like old-ass wide receivers, we had a team named Old-Ass Wide Receivers last year. You know, they're probably focusing on these two guys, Smith and Wallace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, they probably true. Farrell, Mr. Elkman was talking about this, and it is important because he could move into the Tier 1 running back, as far as I'm concerned, if it keeps going like this. Now Lacy's up to losing 15 to 18 pounds since last year. He's doing the P90X thing. Everyone's excited about him. There's pictures of him. I mean, he is moving up boards, brother, and that offense needs him. Is he going to move into that Tier 1 running back group, I think, despite last year?
He is a third-round, late second-round draft pick that if he does what he's supposed to do, you can win with him and you can win big, and he does look impressive in the uniform since dropping the weight. And he had a lot of weight to drop. And, you know, teams – we talk about Denver and we say, this is a team that's really got some problems and people are trying to wonder what that looks like. Just look at what happened with the Packers last year. There was a team that really had some problems and their great quarterback saved them, I think, on two different Hail Mary passes during the year. So it's a situation where I certainly expect things to come back online in Green Bay because I think they have the talent both in the coaching, the front office, and the field to all recheck and get better, and Lacy will be part of that.
Sean?
I feel like Lacy, he's doing all the things right now, but, you know, to me – I'm going to have to see it on the field to really believe it. But you're right. He probably will move up into that category because the Packers are such a popular team. And like you said, everybody's gonna be excited about Lacy coming back, and they're gonna try to get a steal. But it probably won't be me. I'll say that.
My memory is failing me, Sean, but I know we all three of us talked about the game. There was a game last year. Maybe it was a Monday nighter or Sunday nighter, but it was a primetime game, and Eddie Lacy was churning up yards like he used to. And it was a rainy night. He was getting chunks of yardage in each carry, and then he fumbled the ball after running 10 or 15 yards. You remember this play, Bob? He had a good run, and at the end of the run, he fumbled the ball. And they punished him by putting him on the bench. And this is what I'm talking about, making a checkup. The coaching staff doesn't need – you know, you've got a player that's finally finding his own way. Nobody feels worse about fumbling the ball than he did. And, you know, they take him out and embarrass him in front of his teammates on national television and don't let him back in the game. That's a coaching mistake. That's a cultural mistake. That's a situation that I imagine in that player's exit interview that they apologized for. And they said, you know, you get your stuff together off the field, we'll get our stuff together on the field. Packers will be better this coming year. Lacy will be part of it.
That was the Bears game. Just looking at that, he fumbled in that game. They took him out. He was 17 for 105 in that game, 6 yards a carry. And, of course, they went on to lose the game 13-17, which is ridiculous. So,
hey, Sean, you see Bobby Butterfield go get on that computer and get that information. Is that
impressive?
Are you impressed with that?
Absolutely. That's A1 research.
Impressive stuff, David.
No, I didn't remember that. And, you know, it's funny you bring it up, Farrell, because that's one of Chris's pet peeves is he doesn't understand that either. Like you said, is, you know, somehow the guy feels worse because you benched him. What are you doing? You're putting it more in his head. He's either your guy or he's not. And, you know, the Packers could have used some wins there, and the guy was red hot. So, it's a good point. I think Lacy, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm in an online draft right now, and we all love doing wide receivers, so if you're at the end of one, and your third-round reversal, and you can go wide receiver, and Eddie Lacy there is top of three, man, I am just dancing. I'm telling you, I am dancing because I think he's going to be consistent. He might not be the stud of studs this year, but he's going to be there every week for you, so I like that. Farrell, we talked with Eric. He had so much fun just, you know, talking about how he gets to kind of be you in reverse because he gets to play in the leagues at the KFFFC. He gets to come down and just, you know, have a ball. He doesn't have to worry about all the customers and people he's trying to help, and which is the opposite for you when you go to Vegas. So KFFFC is coming up, man. And once again, we got to keep the invites out there, keep pounding on people. Come on down and just check us out, right?
Well, people should want to come and meet guys like you and Balky and Sean Ligon. And, you know, Sean, can you tell that Bobby's got a man crush working on Balky right now? This is like really, really connected.
God.
He's getting apples in the mail from Wisconsin because you are a man crushing on Eric Baltman. But anybody that meets him would want to do that. You know, so if you can imagine last year at the big payback draft, the 18th round, Balkman does a decent job of imitating me in the 18th round, then a spot-on job of imitating John Duckworth, and then he finished up with the fabulous Dr. Harwood. That guy is unbelievable talent. I think in many ways he should be in a bigger market than Appleton, Wisconsin, for God's sakes. But he is... He's truly, he and Dave Gerzak and that group up there, and I get the pleasure of going to their hometown for a 4-day music festival where I have clients playing in early August. So by the time they see me in Las Vegas, they're going to be completely sick of me, and they'll be wanting to spend time with their man crush, Bobby Butterfield. So that's how that goes down.
Sean, listeners, you don't understand the crew that comes down from Wisconsin, and hopefully none of them are listening tonight. That would be the best scenario. If they hear this stuff, I will be just in huge trouble in the Horseshoe Casino. Ron and the boys will give me no mercy. They'll wait till like the third round pick of one of the drafts and go, hey, Bob, Eric's over there. Do you need to take a pause? can just see it now, and that's just
go
beautiful, Farrell. Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Farrell. I appreciate it. The Farrell brings it out to you folks, but it is a situation where you're going to make friends. Hanging around watching that high-stakes draft is a lot of fun, and you will literally just sit with all of these guys at all the different tables during lunch, during breakfast, during dinner, having a drink, walking around the casino. You will be hanging with all these guys and having the time of your life. Like I always say, it probably gets old, and I apologize for saying it. It is like being in your hometown league because everyone wants to talk football with you. It's a lot of fun. And my favorite thing is looking at those draft boards and talking with people. It's so fun. It's so fun to play those scenarios with people because everyone likes to share what they would have done. Oh, I like this, and I would have done that. That's always a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that before we wrap so Farrell can get people there. But that's, of course, at thekffsc.com. That's August 26, 27, 28 down at the Horseshoe. The week before on Saturday at the Horseshoe in Cincinnati, so you can double down. Check out the website. You'll get further information. Just click on the KFFSC logo. You'll get all this information. And please bother him. That'd be great. Tell him you got
Bobby, think of something. You know, we're trying to tell the players how to win playing fantasy football, both at home in Kentucky and Las Vegas. You know, maybe and we haven't been getting – we've been getting some calls, but we haven't been getting – we haven't been getting a lot of calls. I'm still waiting for Sandra from Nashville to call. But maybe we should give them a chance to win something, to win a way into the league. Maybe you think about that. Maybe later in the show you can talk about
it. We're going to do that, and that's a good idea. And Sandra, Farrell's right. You know, Farrell, we never really talked about me and my first year, and I don't even remember how I ended up latching onto you, but I think someone compared you to a barnacle, right, Sean? So, anyways,
same way you ended up latching on to Balky. It was a temporary man crush that you got over.
No, but with Farrell, so I entered that year, and geez, Farrell, I want to say I maybe entered five teams or something like that. And gosh, I think I won money in three of them, right?
Yes, sir. You did very well as a rookie.
And to be honest with you, folks, you know, you listen to me, you know. Do not hit on all the players. And so, you know, I am listening to the experts that come on as well and just trying to do the best I can to have fun and compete. And waiver wires, you hear it from all the experts. Waiver wires are so important. You know, I will tell you, if Bob could go down there and have some success again last year, trust me, all of you can have that same success. So have a good time. And you can money. You know, maybe get a trophy and get announced by Farrell. That's kind of fun, too. So let's move on and hit a couple more tips and strategies, and then we'll wrap up later on, talk about that contest. I think it's a good idea to get people to get down there to the Horseshoe. Talking about cutting your draft boards, Farrell, and, you know, I made a mistake of adjusting my draft board after I left the Horseshoe and when I went to Vegas. And I looked at that 2 weeks ago and realized every move I made was wrong. So when you create your draft board, how do you adjust it as you get closer to draft day? What are the things you look at that do matter where you would want to adjust what you're thinking about a player?
Injuries. That's a no-brainer. We talked last week about strength of schedule. And one of the things we didn't throw out in that conversation was strength of schedule in the playoffs. So if I look at that a little closer and I say, well, this player's got to go on the road to bad weather against good defense, maybe I'm going to kick them. Maybe I couldn't separate these guys in August 1st, but now I feel that I've studied it a little closer and I can separate them. But I'm not going to make wholesale adjustments because I believe in the core values and histories that I've assigned to the player. Nothing is really going to change, but over Labor Day, to me, about the player outside of those kind of things I just mentioned.
Sean, how about you? He mentioned injuries to the schedule, which I really put way down my personal list. I almost don't look at it. I just have it because listeners ask me, and I don't use just one formula. I actually take a consensus format approach to that. But anyways, you know, Farrell's looking at that, and he has his success as well in Vegas. So injury, strength of schedules. What are other things could adjust your draft board for you as you get closer to draft day?
Well, I mean, maybe there's some camp battles that get resolved or more roles get more defined in those last couple weeks. maybe that influences your decision. But, you know, I think one of the things that we all fall victim to is we get there and we see what all the other draft boards are, and maybe we start to question our own opinion a little bit. And, you know, that's why I always like to make my own rankings, my own cheat sheets, and really try to stick to them and not worry so much about, you know, everything else that's going on around me. I found I do better when, you know, I trust myself, and then at least I won't be second-guessing myself if I make a mistake.
Farrell, what about ascending players behind the guy? You know, you say you've ranked, Forte at a certain position, and Powell starts really coming on strong. What do you do when a guy that you ranked a certain place starts to have a little bit more look over his shoulderitis?
I'm going to leave Forte where he is and realize that I expect Powell to prove his value to the team in the preseason. And I'm going to do just what they advise you to do in those situations. Follow the money. And the money in the elite athlete belongs with Matt Forte.
That's excellent advice. Follow the money is absolutely right. And don't give up. You know, Brad Cruz, you're echoing him right there, which is excellent. 2016 injury updates. So we've got some players, pretty interesting players, coming back from season injuries that people aren't talking about much. And just to remind people where we were last year, Farrell, last year people and players in this position would have been Carson Palmer coming back. It would have been Sam Bradford. It was Todd Gurley, the rookie with the knee. It was Brandon Cooks, missed the end of the year with a broken thumb. It was Allen Robinson with the fractured foot. No one was concerned about that. And it was Brandon Marshall with the broken ribs and punctured lung on that play. And, of course, Victor Cruz, Tyler Eifert thing. So you got all those players last year who came in, and a lot of those did pretty well the following year, that being 2015. So now fast forward to those players that we're looking at this year. Let's start with a couple running backs, Farrell. Jamaal Charles and Le'Veon Bell coming back. Any adjustments or fears forecast here?
No. If they're going to run out and answer the bell
no.
to start the season. No. You just proved the case. You just truly, truly proved the case that those things shouldn't matter. Justin McCord and I used to draft teams together and would today if we possibly could. And Justin works in the medical field. He looks at a lot of injuries. And we could have got Adrian Peterson, I believe it to be in the middle of the second round, the year he's coming back from his injury. And Justin looks at me and says, oh, no, not Adrian Peterson. He'll never come back from that injury. I'm surprised he can walk. And then, you know, the next day he rushed for, I think, 238. Hey, Sean, Bobby was talking about my success in Las Vegas. You know, my success in Las Vegas is limited to finding the ballroom and getting to the draft on time. You know, that's one of the things I've accomplished out there, is getting to the draft on time, making sure I draft in the best fantasy football league in Las Vegas, the FFPC, and, sometimes finishing third place. That's about where my expertise is associated.
These running backs coming back, and do you have any concerns or qualms on age and these injuries?
Not with those two guys in particular. I mean, I actually think you might be able to get, you know, a good value on Jamaal Charles. Doesn't seem like a lot of people are talking about him. Seems like they've kind of forgotten about Jamaal Charles. So I actually think, you know, he might be a nice value this year. You know, I think, and also, you know, but if you're going to take Le'Veon Bell, that's obviously going to be a very, very, very high pick. So, you know, I think it is somewhat concerning now, though, that Bell's had injuries, you know, a couple times. So it might make you think twice if you're going to take him number one or number two overall.
Didn't you tell me there was a website out there that said players most likely to be injured and miss time during the year? There's a website that actually specializes in it. They have a crystal ball and they're able to tell. And you know, so some people obviously believe in that, and they think that we're just foolish old cats talking about you know, things that they can figure out. So whatever that website is, I'm sure you can go to it.
Yeah, the injury predictor or something like that. But I think you need to color it with our expert color commentary, right? So I'm going to hit you again, Farrell, because I think these guys, it's not so easy to answer with. Tony Romo and his bionic collarbone is coming back. He's already throwing, so it's sounding okay. And Joe Flacco and his knee, they're not so sure if he's going to be ready. Is this got an impact to you?
Joe Flacco would be a number two quarterback, so if it were to impact me, he might be a number three in committee. And Tony Romo is on my do not draft list.
Wow. There you have it. Sean, you?
I agree with him about Flacco. Flacco is just a guy that you might use for a bye week. He'll be available more than likely. You know, Romo, I would still draft Romo. Romo's proven to be a tough guy that comes back as quickly as possible as he can from injury. And, you know, I think Dallas is committed to live and die with him. So he's still okay with me.
All right. So it's two against Romo, and Flacco is no need to worry about because, as you said, he's a streaming quarterback in most formats. And now a little more difficult, Farrell. Carlos Hyde with that foot surgery. I hate foot surgery on running backs and wide receivers. And Dez Bryant on his foot surgery. Carlos Hyde and Dez Bryant, Farrell.
If Tony Romo lives, he's going to throw the ball to Dez Bryant. So that's where you need to draft a player. He's a fantastic player. The only thing he has with Carlos Hyde is that both players have 2 feet. Not even that they have foot injuries because Carlos Hyde – You gotta realize where Carlos Hyde is playing too. You know, that's not something that there's so many things going on there besides his foot injury. I'm saying avoid Carlos Hyde and don't miss a beat with Dez Bryant.
Sean.
Well, since I supported Romo, I have to support Dez. He's got to throw it to Dez in order for Romo to succeed. So, obviously, I believe that can happen. Carlos Hyde's situation all depends on where you get him. If you get him later on, you know, as a good value, that's one thing. If you overdraft him thinking he's going to come out like he did against Minnesota in the first game last year, I think you're, you know, probably in for some disappointment. So, if you can get him in a bargain, okay. If not, don't reach for him.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think the Carlos Hyde situation is awfully attractive for two reasons. He is going to be massively down on ADP because of the spin on San Francisco is going to be so negative. And two, right, he's going to be down because of that foot surgery. I think he's a bargain running back for those of us that are going to be drafting running backs late. Fantasy Pros consensus on him right now is he's down literally after guys like, you know, C.J. Anderson, of course, but after Jeremy Langford, you know, he's down on the list. So I think he's going to be an attractive player to watch. I think it's important to watch him in preseason because, again, I'm just looking for some steady production. And I'm glad to hear Farrell down on that Niner organization because it's going to be rough. But I just think he's going to be steady and, you know, maybe a touchdown every other week. So I'm kind of in on Hyde because I'm going to be so heavy on wide receivers. The other guy,
well, the
though,
coaches, the coaches system there is obviously proven to elevate the performance of outstanding NFL running backs. Because if you're an outstanding NFL running back and you get together with that coach, there's nothing but clear sailing in front of you.
Yeah, is there nothing else motivating DeMarco Murray right now than other to show everybody what happened last year, right, Farrell?
That was my futile attempt as to be sarcastic.
Humorous. Yeah, you're sarcastic. Poor Chip Kelly. He's back on his side of the world, though, so that should help, too. He's out there on that West Coast, so that could help. But certainly DeMarco Murray's motivated, I think, to show that it was Chip's issue and his offense not using him. So we'll see. Again, I like, you know, I call it fantasy garbage. Carlos Hyde is kind of fantasy garbage this year. He's on a team everyone's down on, a coach people are down on. He's got an injury. He theoretically should be a really good buy. So
how many running backs will you have on your roster before you draft Carlos Hyde?
Depending on how the draft goes, I'd say 1 to 2.
So you're willing to say you're going to go forward with Carlos Hyde as your number two running back?
No, actually, I'm willing to say that in the end, by week six, it's very likely that whatever running back I get in the waiver wire will be playing ahead of Carlos Hyde.
That's probably true.
Right?
So you're willing to grab Carlos Hyde in the sixth round or seventh round, knowing that you'll replace your sixth or seventh rounder on the waiver wire, if not by injury, by talent and skill.
No, I believe I won't replace him. I believe I will bench him for that. But I think it's an all but given you're going to get a wide receiver or running back there in the seventh round. So looking at what's happened the last 2 years, and I'm crafting strategy, man. I'm saying the waiver wires are for my running backs that I'm going to end up starting from the middle of the year on. I look at the injuries and what happens. I am not going to get one of those top three or four running backs. I am not even going to have to worry about it. I'm going wide receiver, tight end, if it depends on the format, maybe three wide receivers, then pick up the best running back I can, and then I'm just going to draft best player. I don't care if I end up with the – and think about the players that have helped people. You know, Deion Lewis's, Chris Ivory's, you know, these guys, no one wanted. Doug Martin 2 years ago, Andre Ellington, you know, their players are always there. You just got to get the right ones, and I'm just going to focus more on that, and I'm not going to worry about
– I drafted Chris Ivory in the sixth round last year and wanted him. I drafted Deion Lewis in the 16th round because I drafted on
beautiful
Thursday.
Yep.
On
beautiful
Thursday.
So
I was able to get it. So my point, Bobby Butterfield, is that I don't think you can win. And, Sean, you correct me because I may be way out of line. But I don't think you can win. You're going to lose 1 through 8. You're going to lose a couple of your 1 through 8 players by attrition. So I'm saying you through the 8th round. I don't think you can win by telling me one of your picks, 1 through 8th round, is going to be moved to the bench for non-performance, but because you're picturing drafting Carlos Hyde and replacing. I want you to draft Carlos Hyde because you believe he's going to carry for 1,400 yards and reignite the name of Kelly amongst coaching legends in the NFL. That's
he's
why
having too much fun. He's having too much fun, Sean. I think I like the upside for the cost, and I'm good with it. I'm just not going to get all hung up on getting those top running backs this year. And I would love to get Forte around 3 or 4 and just move on. I'm good with that because then I'll get Powell later on, and I'm good with it. I am going to win based on wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends this year, and I am not going to win because of either one of my running backs. Sean, are you thinking I'm crazy or what?
No, I'm right with you as far as drafting three wide receivers right out of the gate. I mean, I think we're following the same thing that the NFL has been. You know, running backs are becoming such a replaceable commodity that you have to reserve that waiver wire money for the running backs that emerge either because of injury or because they just take over a spot from a guy that's dead weight. And that's how people have been winning, you know, lately. The problem is you just can't miss. You have to be right. You're going to win, you have to be right if you're going to play that strategy. So, you know, if you go ahead and throw your $300 or $400 or $500 out there because you know it's going to cost a big chunk, you cannot miss. Because if you miss, you're pretty much out of it.
Let's talk about all those Baltimore running backs that
were
good investments on the waiver wire last year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sarcastic, Farrell, tonight. I'm liking it a lot. It's sarcastic, Farrell. He's right on top of it. But there's going to be a running back who's going to emerge in Miami, and it's not Jay Ajayi. So who knows what that guy is going to cut. Maybe it's I can't remember his name now. Darn it, I should know it. My team, too. But there's a guy there that probably is going to go undrafted, and I think he's a really interesting
maybe
running back.
Maybe it's Ezekiel Elliott.
No, it's not Ezekiel Elliott. So I'm just saying Carlos Hyde's cheap. I don't mind it. I'm going to keep an eye on it. I want to keep an eye on them, and we'll see what happens. So I'm glad you're not doing it. So now I'm going to flip the channel before we go to something else. Matt Jones, then, the hip. I hate hip injuries, too. You talk about your buddy didn't like the injury history. You know, first to you, Sean, Matt Jones's hip, that's got me plenty concerned.
Yeah, the hip seems to be a pretty serious thing for the running back. That ought to be something we can watch in preseason, see how he's moving. See, if they're using him heavily in preseason, that obviously means he's healthy. Otherwise, they wouldn't risk him. playing. So we ought to be able to, you know, that situation should play out where we can judge it ourselves.
I like Matt Jones. I like backing him up with the little player number 25, Thompson, there. Nobody else really talks about him, but I like him.
Chris Thompson is a heck of a football player. Yeah, he's a heck of a football player. And with Alfred Morris gone, that makes things pretty interesting out there. So Farrell talked about it. We need to get some folks to start thinking about having an opportunity to come down here. And then you can be on the show and talk about your first experience at the KFFFC. So what Farrell's agreed to do with us here on the show at AlfredProsciutto.com, and you can sign up there or email him as well. Farrell and I, we are offering to everybody who signs up, we will pull a name out of that group on the show live. We'll pull that name out. Probably, I think you were thinking maybe early July, right, Farrell? And one of you listeners who sign up for the weekly newsletter that will start coming out between the two of us, you will win a free KFFFC team. Farrell, that's just an awesome opportunity, man.
Free main event team, and it will be awarded to a rookie player who's never played in a league before. And that's the pool from which we will draw from. And the earlier you sign up, the better off you are. If you are from we've got our list of banned states because your legislature won't let you play high-stakes fantasy football. And if we pull you from that state, we'll try to team you with someone that is from a legal state. And if you can't do that, we might have to have another drawing. But nevertheless, we would love you to come make an effort to get more involved with us, and you could be a winner before you even get there.
Yeah, you can be a winner before you get there is right, and we will work to help you find proper representation if you're one of the few states that right now they're still working on that legislation. So, again, what you do is go to the AlfredProsciutto.com website or call Farrell, say, I want to be involved and enrolled in the contest, and we'll sign you up, and all you'll get for that, pestered-wise, is Farrell puts out a great little newsletter during the season once a week. And before the season, I don't know, you probably average about once a month or so on that one?
Yeah, maybe a little more, yeah.
Yeah, and then same with us here at All-Purpose Roto. You'll get like twice a month. You won't get both of us the same week. We'll be fantasy news from either one. And for that enrollment, you'll get a chance to win an event team, which, Sean, I kind of wish I could enroll.
Oh, yeah. Sign me up for that. I'm already thinking of my friends I can enter, you know, and then
there
I can represent them. So, you know what I mean?
Look at these guys. They always find a workaround, Farrell.
Well, that is. That's why they're great players. You know, they're always looking for the loophole in the system, and it's a good thing.
I think this year it's going to be so exciting because I'm looking forward to some of our new listeners showing up and being at the Horseshoe and hanging out with us. We're going to be broadcasting live. All 3 days we'll be down there doing shows. And then during the main events, we'll be doing a show. And a lot of fun. You can come over, talk on the air. You can give shouts out to your buddies at home and your home leagues. Talk about what you did right, what you saw that was funny, what you saw was wrong. We can't wait for you to tell your story on the air. And we welcome anybody on the show when they're down there. It's fun. And I always love sneaking up into the balcony there and getting a view of the whole thing. It's a lot of fun out there. Farrell, your Raiders, I think, have done. Let's wrap up with just a couple of free agent signings, okay? The Raiders, to me, are getting hot, man. I love the Reggie Nelson signing. I know it's not a fantasy signing, but I still think it helps this whole offense because as this team gets better, that means more for Derek Carr. That means more for Amari Cooper. Are you sad to see Nelson leave Cincinnati or happy to see him go to Oakland?
Well, of course. You know, I believe in every player being able to pursue his manifest destiny and play for the Raiders. Who wouldn't want to be part of the current Oakland Raiders, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders? But I agree with you, Bob. It's a fine signing for this late in the free agent system. Now I'm excited about I'm very, very excited about looking and see what the Raiders are going to do in the draft because, you know, they've got their receivers. They've got their quarterback. They need significant help in the secondary, especially at the corners, and they're going to go get it.
Sean, what do you like about the Raiders? You think this type of move is something fantasy owners should keep an eye out? You know, he talks about the Raiders. Mark Davis has owned that team now for 8 years. And what I think would shock people is overall in those 8 years, the Raiders' win percentage is 12th in the league. So they are moving up, man. They are a team that is trying to get better. They are working on it. Their franchise is actually growing. And they're ranked as the number 10 franchise ownership as far as, let's call it, the likability factor. What do you think about the Raiders?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Raiders seem to be an organization that's heading in the right direction. And, you know, we perennially we had these teams that you would just never draft a player from.
True.
And now we're having to change our mind a little bit. You know, the Jacksonville, Oakland, Tampa Bay's of the world now have some offensive weapons, and their team's on the rise. So, you know, sometimes you have to get that out of your head of what's been ingrained in there for so long.
Farrell, another player that, of course, won't get fantasy news a lot is the fact that the Eagles signed Stefan Wisniewski, an excellent center guard combo guy, cheap money, under $2 million. He had a terrible year for your Raiders in 2014. He was hurt, played hurt, looked terrible. He played 1 year for the Jags to kind of make it, you know, a 1 year, I guess what you guys called it, a prove-it contract or something. You can talk about that. And now the Eagles get the beneficiary getting this guy at a bargain price. I think it's wonderful news for Sam Bradford and their wide receivers there.
It's a rental player to see if it works. It's what a player at that point in his career needs, and whether or not it's going to work, we'll just have to see what he's got left in the tank. A lot of, you know, we'd have to go through the coaching tree and the front office tree to see who has the relationship with that player and who's making the move on it. And I bet you we could find it very quickly and learn why they made the move on that player.
Farrell's always thinking, Sean. He's looking for that angle. I like Wisniewski. I'm getting sucked into this Eagle team because people are still feeling burnt from last year. I'm liking me some Jordan Matthews. I'm liking me some Ryan Matthews. I'm good with Zach Ertz, and I can tolerate Bradford. What are you thinking about this signing?
Yeah, I think the signing is good. I mean, I think Philadelphia obviously could use a lot of help. So, you know, they were an underperforming team last year. I like you. I like Jordan Matthews a lot still, even though after last year he certainly tried my patience. But I'll probably stick with him again. Ryan Matthews is still one of the guys that I always seem to gravitate towards. So I'll probably be sucked back into that too. So, you know, I guess I'm the fly Eagles fly, I suppose.
It sounded like an eagle in the background of one of your guys' phone a little while ago, so that's a very appropriate.
Yeah, that's my pet geese. That's my pet geese that I have out here.
Did you name them?
Geese, and I can't tell them apart, so I did not really name them. But yeah, we've got a good selection of geese. I want to say hello to some guys, Bobby Butterfield. May I do that?
Yeah,
we got to say, if you're thinking that Louisville, Kentucky is too far away and you can't get to Louisville, please remember Southwest Airlines nonstop flights from all over the country will bring you very conveniently right into to Louisville. Our good friend Ray Chung is coming all the way from Hong Kong. If Ray can make it here from Hong Kong, you can certainly make it here from wherever you are, and we guarantee you that you will have a fabulous time. I was reading, there's a magazine called Athletes Quarterly. Do you guys get it?
I don't, because I am no longer the superior athlete I once was. How about you, Sean?
That's right. That's right. You still have the appearance, brother, but you've lost a little bit of the swag. But the whole thing about Athletes Quarterly, four times a year. They do some great articles, and the players kind of open up to them, and they're not really edited down to and they're kind of like our show. They tend to go a little long because nobody edits them and cuts them off. So, Allen Robinson, they're doing a little feature on Allen Robinson. And in the last paragraph, he says, they ask him about playing in Jacksonville and did it matter and would he rather play in some of the bigger cities. And he says, you know, he says, because of fantasy football, all cities are now big in the NFL. And I thought that was pretty cool, that players are locked into the fact that football fans are aware of who they are because they're engaged with them in fantasy football, that he's not playing in a small market. There are no small markets. I thought that was pretty cool and pretty astute observation by that young man.
So Athletes Quarterly is the magazine, Farrell?
Athletes Quarterly. I'll save you some copies. They send me three.
That's pretty good. Sean, I think it's particularly helpful that Farrell gave us the tip that quarterly means once every 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Very helpful.
I didn't know math was involved in tonight's show.
I am a genius of the mathematical. Everybody knows it.
Sean, is a touchdown still worth 6 points? I don't remember. What do you got on your end?
Yeah, you know, I think it is. I think for a quarterback, it might be worth 4, but I think it's worth 6 to everybody else.
Okay. I got a trivia question then. So since we opened the door to math, man, I'm excited about this because I'm going to trip Farrell up on this one. All right.
No, you're not.
Yeah, the original. So I'll make Sean go first. That way you can have a chance to think about it. All right, the original charter of the NFL, when they were looking at what would happen if a team forfeits, you know, so if a team forfeits, what's the score going to be? Because there's got to be a score. Sean, when a team in the NFL forfeits, and it goes down in the record books that the Raiders forfeited to the Rams, what's the score of that game?
Well, since I have no idea, I'm going to go with logic and say they took a knee in the end zone, and it's 2-0.
Bobby Butterfield, I think that Sean Ligon has inflated that score, and I believe the proper score is 1-0.
You know, I can't believe it, but Sean got it. You know, I would have never guessed it, and that's exactly right. It's 2-0 because it's no player gets the points that way. It's the only way they could do no player got the points. So it's a safety, and it's 2-0. So, man, I thought I had him, and I didn't have him. That's just too bad.
You can't get anything past Sean Ligon.
Your team. Yeah, your team, Farrell. When it's just like a pinch hitter, man. You know, you only had half the points, so he had your back. You talk about coming into Louisville. Don't forget, my offer still stands, too, for that. We have a wonderful Bobby Butterfield limousine service in my vehicle. We will get you to the horseshoe. There may be some stops along the way, but we will get you there. And you will save rental fee, right, Farrell?
That's exactly right. And you don't want to show up with any slightly inebriated Oregonians like you did last year, because that Jim Cole is one hell of a guy. He's about as good as they get.
He almost won a free ticket back, didn't he? He was second place, I think, to winning a free airfare coming back, didn't he?
In the Bluegrass Bound, but yeah, he was a money winner in other leagues as well.
He was tough, man. He stole some of my players, so hopefully he's not listening as much this year. but no, we don't want you to spend money on rentals, and I'm like it. I want to share the gas money with you and everything because I want to afford another team. So don't spend your money on a rental car. We'll find a way to get you. It's pretty close to the horseshoe from there. And once you get there, you don't need a car, so that's also a plus. Hey,
you can swim across the river with Bobby Butterfield.
Yeah, we can do that. There you go, Sean. That's a frightful thought for a lot of listeners right now. KFFSC.com is where you go. AllPurposeRoto.com, you will see a spot to sign up for the weekly rundown newsletter that you'll get from Farrell or the All-Purpose Roto team. Sign up there and get your name in the hat to win a main event team, folks. That's pretty decent, man. That's a chance. Main event team. So if I win, how much money do I get, Farrell? If I win the whole thing.
You win the entire league, $7,500, a beautiful trophy, and a ticket to play in the FFPC in Las Vegas, a chance to win $300,000 the following year. There's $1,600 at stake in each division. We got lots and lots of prizes. But after you've already spent that money, Bobby, you'll go down in history as the 14th champion of the KFFSC, and that's something that no one can ever take away from you. You know, Sean and I have spent all our fantasy football earnings on girls and alcohol and trips to Las Vegas. And you know, what was left after that we just wasted. So it's a situation, Bobby Butterfield, where the money will leave, but the experience and the bragging rights you'll own forever.
So that's Farrell's answer, folks. On my end, I'm going to put a different order of that. That's $7,500, and that's a trip to Vegas and an FFPC team and a trophy, which is awesome with the notoriety. But, again, it was $7,500. So, look, I don't get to do that very often in the show, man. You sign up for a newsletter, you get a chance to win $7,500. I think you should. That's pretty cool. KFFFC.com, MrFarrellElliott@gmail.com, 502. You can also call Farrell if you want to get in that mailing list. He'll take care of you. 502.
Now who are they going to get? See these geese? Do you hear the geese complaining? Who in the hell are they going to get if they go down to MrFarrellElliott@gmail.com? It'll bounce right back into their face.
Wait.
So why don't we give them the actual Gmail address, which is jfarrellelliott@gmail.com. jfarrellelliott@gmail.com. Don't upset the geese, Bob.
Jeepers, J. Farrell is spelled so complicated, too. So you should just go to my website, click on the KFFC logo, and make Farrell stop giving me a hard time. Two R's, two L's, two L's, two T's. Oh, my gosh. jfarrellelliott@gmail.com. Just
work.
Call him. Man, God, 502-523-5057. Just go to the website. It's a lot easier. I can stop talking. Thanks to Sean for putting up with all this crap. Thanks to Eric for calling in. Thanks, Sean Ligon. Thanks for Farrell for calling in. And, of course, real heartfelt thanks to Eric for joining the show. Farrell, say goodbye, and let's go get some dinner.
See everyone next Tuesday. See you in Kentucky, August 26th through 28th, 2016. Come join us.
Thanks, Sean.
Ready, set,
hike. All right, Rob.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, Bobby.
Good pod. No Josh Robinson this year. That was bad. I'm not going to do that again. Have a good night, son. Have a good night, brother. Woohoo! Free main event.